Good morning.
Good morning.
Our reading today is from Mark 10, 17 through 31. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Do you know the commandments? Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And as he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were excitingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is a reading of God's word.
Thank you, BJ. I know that doesn't show up real well on the PowerPoint, but those are suitcases. A lot of suitcases, and one looks just like one I used to have, I gave away last year. About 13 or 14 suitcases. My question to you, how many suitcases do you need? When is enough enough? When too much can be too little in our lives, the things that we have sometimes, even our monies, our possessions, can keep us from a closer relationship with our Lord. How much money is enough? How many possessions are enough? When is too much actually too little? The late J. Paul Getty once, he was reputed to be the richest man in the world, and he once complained to a newspaper reporter that inflation was hurting him. And I know we should all feel very sorry for him, because he said, "You know, $1 billion is just not what $1 billion used to be." Author and sociology professor Tony Campagnolo says in his book, "Everything You've Heard Is Wrong," tells about a young idealistic student he had in one of his classrooms. During his undergraduate years, Ralph was committed to becoming a lawyer who would champion the rights of the poor and the oppressed and stand up to help people, just to be a good person. He was full of passion for justice and radiated compassion for the underdog that inspired everyone that knew him. By the time he graduated from law school, Ralph was deeply in debt, as many students are. So he took a job with a large firm that specialized in corporate law and did very little pro bono work or free work for people as possible. The pay was mind-boggling for most of us, and Ralph convinced himself that he would stay with that firm just long enough to make enough money to pay off his school bills. He assured his former professor that the yuppie subculture that he was in at that time would not rub off on him. He would keep his idealism. When Tony met Ralph a few years later, he was a transformed person. His idealism was gone. He was on the verge of becoming a partner in the law firm. He had a live-in relationship with one of his female colleagues, and they had just moved into a super place on the east side. What saddened Tony most was the excitement that once had sparkled in Ralph's eyes was now gone, almost kind of a dead look. Ralph still went to church. He found one of those churches where everybody has a lot of money. Everybody is rich and they are upper class. I guess that Ralph discovered that once you get on the treadmill of material success, enough simply is never enough. So we have to ask ourselves, when is enough enough? A wealthy young man came to Jesus to ask what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And evidently this man was where many of us are. His material interests were being met, but not really his spiritual interests. He was not a bad man, he was just an empty man. He addressed Jesus as good teacher, which was really a violation of the Jewish ethics. He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God." And Jesus was probably cautioning this man not to put his ultimate confidence in teachers or powerful people, but to only put that ultimate trust in an almighty God. He said, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I've kept since I was a boy." This man believed that if he just kept the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, he would have it made spiritually. So here's the situation. He thought money would make him happy, but it didn't. He thought minding all the rules of his faith would make him happy, but that didn't either. All of his life he'd been taught that if he had enough money, if he was a good enough guy, if he kept those laws, everything would be fine and he would be a happy person. But it wasn't enough. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus knew that this man was trying to live as society told him that he ought to live. And Jesus appreciated that. Jesus wanted to give him the key to what he needed. He said, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then you come and you follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And I think a movie, I never saw the movie, or the song by a rap star said, "Get rich or die trying." And I think that's where a lot of people in our society are headed to. That money is the ultimate God for them. And it's easy to fall into that trap. This young man was in the presence of his master himself. He could have made his life something magnificent. Just think about it. If he had followed Jesus, maybe he would have been one of his close disciples. He might have been called blessed by hundreds of people, maybe even thousands that he was able to help and bring into the kingdom of God. He could have written one of the Gospels, maybe. And his name might be revered, and we might speak it today as we do Peter and Paul and John. But he turned away because he couldn't let go of the good in order to grasp the best. God gives us the freedom to do that. We don't have to accept what God has given to us. He went away sad, says the Gospel, because he had great wealth. Can you imagine that? We could understand if we read, he went away sad in spite of his great wealth. Many people are sad in spite of their great wealth. And I think of the woman, and I don't know, just won the $300-something million Powerball. She's going to clear about $140 million. And I hope with that money that she's happy. I hope that she helps people with it. She said she's going to buy her family homes. But if she was not already a happy person, winning that lottery is not going to make her happy. Oh yeah, temporarily. She'll be happy, excited, buying all kind of homes and cars and vacations. But if you're not happy inside, you're not going to be happy even if you win the Powerball. It says here, he went away sad because of his great wealth. Is it possible to be sad because you have great wealth? And I know most of us are thinking, wait a minute, Leonard, I could use more money. I need some wealth. And I understand where you're coming from. You know, I'm basically a week-by-week person like any of you. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That's a tough, tough statement. The disciples were even more amazed, says Mark, and said to each other, then who can be saved? And that's a good question. If accumulating toys and possessions bring you happiness and keeping the rules won't buy your salvation, then what's it going to take? Or I said, should accumulating won't make you happy? If we take everything we have and sell it, and we give everything that we have to the poor, like Jesus was telling this man to do, will that do it? Will that make us happy? Well, that depends. Is money the most important thing in your life? And I think every one of us, if it's not us, we know people that money is the most important thing in their life. How much more they can get and holding on to everything and then scared to death that they might lose it. Jesus was simply telling this man the truth about what came first in this man's life. And that was his money. That may not be the situation in your life. But what is it that comes first in your life? Have you really thought about it? Let me phrase it another way. What is it that keeps you from doing something great for God and finding ultimate happiness? Is it your job? Is it even your family? Is it time playing computer games? Or watching sports on television? Is it the time messaging your friends on Facebook? Or is it some hobby that you have? Where do you devote your time, your money, your dreams, your energy? Is it the accumulation of even more wealth, even more toys? Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And I know I used this statement one time, and it really got me. A young man said to me, the man who dies with the most toys wins. And my first thought was, man, that's sad. Pharaohs couldn't take their wealth with them. It's still in the ground. They're still uncovering it. You can't take it with you. Jesus knew where this young man's heart was. He was a nice guy. He kept all the commandments, really worked hard at doing the right thing. And that may be more than you and I do. Maybe we're just trying to skirt by and not really do much of anything. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I like that. He cared for this person. But Jesus knew that God did not come first in this young man's life. And again, I ask, what is it that comes first in your life? Theologian Paul Tillich once said that whatever is our ultimate concern in life, that is our God. Among those concerns might be our personal success. It might even be our allegiance to our country. Or the ultimate concern could be the God of the Bible. The first two can become idolatry. But the third, putting God first, is worship. And this is a very hard teaching, one we really don't like to face. You mean God must come before my job, before my family, my concern for my health, even my allegiance to this great country? Yes, Nothing in the world should be above God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I want you to understand that God rarely asks us to choose between our family and our faith in God. That would be very unusual to happen. Or our allegiance to our country and our faith in God. Or even our job and our faith in God. But if it does happen, and God did ask you, what would you do? You have to choose God. The ultimate decision is what or who will you ultimately really worship? Once you decide to worship the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all the important decisions that you make in life are filtered down through that relationship with God. If you choose instead to worship an idol, whether wealth or comfort or work or any other temporal god, whatever it might be, then life becomes much more complicated, and the end result, I think, will be a sad life. That is not the message of our culture, but it is Christ's message to those of great wealth, because our culture tells us, get more, 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 more. Ray Stedman puts it this way. He said, I've been privileged to travel extensively and speak to very wealthy people. He said, I spoke in Florida, in Hollywood, Florida, so-called Gold Coast, and I was told there was 100 or so, and their accumulated wealth was over $1 billion. He said, by their own testimony, they all had enough money to buy basically anything that they wanted. Had arrived at a place where they were suffering what someone called destination sickness. That's the malady, they said, of having everything that you want, but not wanting everything that you have, and being sick, empty, and lonely, and miserable. The wealthy young man who came to Jesus probably suffered from destination sickness. He had arrived, he had thought he had it made, but in truth, he had become a slave to his wealth. Jesus was offering him a lifeline, but this young man could not see the lifeline. All he could think about, no, that's my money, that's my wealth. All he could see was what he was giving up, not what he would be gaining. So I ask you, are you ready to put God first in your life? I'm asking myself the same thing. I think it's something we really have to do on a daily basis. Are you tired of the emptiness of living life your way instead of turning your life over to God and living life God's way? It's not always an easy thing to do. Have you discovered that there's never really enough money, enough work, not enough sex, not enough drugs, not enough alcohol to ease the empty and unfulfilled heart that so many people have? The disciples were amazed at Jesus' words about the difficulty of the wealthy entering the kingdom. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, We've left everything to follow you, Lord. The truly I tell you, Jesus said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the first will be last. Many people and preachers, especially television preachers, have perverted this teaching into a gospel of wealth. That if you're a Christian, you should be rich. All Christians should be rich. Now please do not misunderstand. Jesus does not say that it's impossible for people with money to enter the kingdom of God. He says all things are possible with God. The only people in danger are those who are putting their wealth, their possessions, first. The only people in danger are those who have no greater purpose in life than the accumulation of more and more and more. When is enough enough? When is too much too little? How many people do you know, and I've talked to a lot of people recently, and I'm doing this in my own home, look around and say, you know, I just got too much stuff. I've got to get rid of some stuff. I've been loading up bags of stuff, taking it to Goodwill. Stuff I know that a man drives by in a pickup will take. I've been putting that out. And I think I told you when my stepmother died, it was 2008, and I went down, and my dad had a pickup. Well, I was there for 2 weeks. Every day I was taking a pickup load of stuff to the dump, just throwing it away. Open closet doors, things were falling out, stacked up under beds. Containers, food containers, there was enough to feed a whole battalion if you could just put food in all the food containers that they had. And when people get older and they move out, maybe move into an assisted living, or they move in with family, or they downsize their house, they start looking around and say, wow, I didn't even realize I had so much stuff. So some of the stuff we have, we can share. We can give to people who have less. Whether it's pots and pans that we don't need, or a set of dishes, or we've got some money that we can help. Give to our church, or maybe to someone we know who's going through a difficult time. So I just want you to think about your possessions. Years ago, I went on one of the dating sites just to look. I can't tell you, and I don't mean this anything against women, please. Don't get me wrong. I was just a man looking at women. I wasn't looking at what the men said. I can't tell you how many of them Hoppy were shopping. Going to spend, and I don't mean just looking, I mean spending lots of money, because that's where they thought they would get their satisfaction. And many of those that did that in the same thing, they had gambling on there. Now, I'm not saying don't go shopping. No, I'm not saying don't ever go window shopping. We all do it. But some people are just obsessed, and some people are going into debt, running up credit cards. Then they get another credit card and run it up. Then they get another credit card and run it up. Then they can't make their house payment. They can't make their car payment. And they say, why? It's because they've bought into the culture that I've got to have everything that my neighbors have, and I've got to have more. I just want all of us to think about, well, when's enough enough? Enjoy life. Enjoy things. They're given to us to enjoy. But find the balance in your life with your possessions, with TV watching, with sports, everything. Put God first. May God bless you. Amen.